There we go.
This is the last of our series that seems to be going for quite a while, of our old age talks on the Beatitudes. And these are sayings, aren't they, that Jesus taught. And they sort of describe Jesus and the people who follow him. So as we live out the Beatitudes, these verses we've been looking through, people can see that we belong to God's family. So what I'm going to do is just going to say, have us listen again to that final beatitude that Mercy read a few moments ago. Jesus said this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So here's my question then. What does it mean to be persecuted? Easy question. What does it mean to be... If I said to someone's getting persecuted, what would that mean? Have a think. Go on, have a go. Have a think, of an example. It's a strange word. Have a think. Adults can join in as well. You're not let off the hook. If you said the word persecuted, God.
Killing.
Sorry? What?
Killing,
yes. Killing who? Have a think.
Jesus.
Well, Jesus, that is true, yes. I'll come to you in a minute, Daniel. Go on, Daniel.
Hard to explain.
Right? It is hard, isn't it? This is why it's a strange word, isn't it? Go on.
Throwing stones at
someone, yes. And?
Sort of like being attacked. Like,
yeah, attacked.
Nice to someone because...
Hang on. Go on.
Not being really nice to them. And
yeah, it's not being very nice. And?
Don't like
something. What is it that would make someone throw stones or not like someone or something else?
A particular religion, like Christian.
Christian. Well, yes, I was going to say, not just any religion. We were talking about Christian, aren't we? We were talking about Jesus. Because you said Jesus earlier, didn't you, Josh? Adults, you're just sitting there as a spectator sport. I'm going to sit over here because I think it's only fair. If all these things are true, if I said the word persecuted to you, what does that mean to you?
That's how they treat you badly because of who you are and what you believe or do.
Yes. Something treats you badly because of what you believe, what you do. Yeah, absolutely right. Anything else? It's a really serious... I'm really, really sorry. You need to look at yourselves. If I had a mirror, I'd love to show it because you're going, I don't want to answer this. I'll let you off the hook. It was very, very funny looking at your faces going, I don't know what to say here. When we talk about Christian, when people have been persecuted, we're in a church, guys, we believe in Jesus, it's been persecuted because of Jesus, because trusting in Jesus. I'll say this a bit more in a minute. And that can mean all sorts of things, can't it? That can be in certain countries getting beaten up or killed or deprived. It can be simply you're being spoken of badly, thought of badly. It can be all sorts of things. It's because you're making a stand for who Jesus is. And it's also people treating us badly for living as Jesus would want us to live because we live a different way. It becomes obvious if we live trying to live as Jesus wants to, that it thinks something is very different. So if we lived our lives trying to do what we did in the rest of the Beatitudes, our lives would look different to those to many other people. In some ways, it'd be the same, but in many others, it'd be different. That doesn't mean, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that every time something bad happens to you, you're being persecuted. It might be that you're just making bad choices. And actually there's a reason why things are not going well. So you might be doing something that's annoying or sinful or that's not persecution. This is persecution. You talk about Jesus, isn't it? So maybe something like this. So you mention to someone at school that you're going to church, and they begin to tease you for it. It does happen. I know it happens myself. And people look down on you because it's other children may do other adults or whatever. It might be in a lesson that you actually say that, you know, you think God created everything. And you go, actually, that's not, you know, and you get vilified for it. You get afraid for saying something in the future because you've had a bad reaction the first time round. When we live like Jesus, the way we act and the way we think and the way we speak will look different to the people who aren't living for Jesus. That's the whole point, isn't it? Some people will see the difference and will want to join God's family too. Because for some people it can look attractive in living differently. But others see the differences and tease us for it. And let's face it, no one wants to be teased. It's not a nice thing, is it? But if we're truly part of God's family, we'll still choose to live God's way, even though it may not feel comfortable. When we're being persecuted, we'll still want to act and think like Jesus. And that's the time that we choose to be a peacemaker, like we said last time round, rather than fighting back. So what we don't do is we don't simply try and blend in. Not really. No, we keep trying to do what Jesus would do. We might get treated badly at times. We might have words said against us. But that's okay. Because Jesus said this would happen to those who love him. He knows he loves us and gives us the strength to carry on. So, for example, if someone that you're made to feel a bit of an outsider for trying to live like Jesus does, we can remember we're part of God's bigger family. And we're always welcomed into that family. That's our home. That's where we're loved by our Lord Jesus. If we're teased and hurt by for speaking out about Jesus, we can know that Jesus is for us. He's with us at all times. And he knows he's speaking the truth with him, for him. Because he's in control, not anyone else. We can pray for people, and then we can pray for people who are in God's family, who live in countries elsewhere, which I'll come to in a bit, where they get badly hurt or put in prison for believing Jesus. Because in this country, basically, we get persecuted by people saying things and actually acting differently towards us. In other places, it's actually very dangerous. So we can thank God for those people and pray for them and they can encourage us to trust in Jesus ourselves. We can ask our Lord Jesus to act to help us to keep, you know, help us keep living for him and them to keep living for him. And also we can pray for missionaries, can't we, who go to dangerous places. And I pray that God will support them. Zoe was here last week. Kosovo is not a particularly dangerous place at the moment, although it could be. We'll keep praying for the Nubi family in Kosovo. Because it's, you know, they're in a sort of, it can be a difficult place for them. Many, many brave people, men and women, children, have suffered because they've been part of God's family. And then our greatest example to follow is Jesus himself, because he himself was persecuted, wasn't he, in many, many ways. Although Jesus lived a perfect life, he lived a life that was different to so many others. He was treated badly by people who didn't believe in him. So Jesus was mocked, wasn't he? He was beaten, and then he died on the cross. He suffered all that for us. Jesus said, the people treat us badly because we follow him, and the kingdom of heaven is ours. That's his way of saying that we will be with him forever. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to talk very briefly about one person and his family who suffered persecution. And I want to encourage us all to take part in response. But first of all, I'm going to get this round. I suddenly realised that we needed to know where this person was. And then I realised I had a map that I hadn't used yet. Now, I need to be careful where I put this, because I don't want to block myself out. I do realise you might be pleased at that. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a man called Jamal and his family, and his wife and his family. And they live in Ethiopia. Now, this is only a bit of the world, as you can see, but can anyone point to where Ethiopia is on the map? Well, anyone would like to have a go? Oh, almost as brave as you were when I mentioned the word persecutors. Have a go. That's close, but not quite right. Do you want to ask how it could go? Come. That's right, number 33. Well done, round of applause. Come on. Good support. Over there. Let me read this to you. Jamal and his wife Fatima grew up as Muslims. When they were young parents, they encountered Jesus and made the life-changing decision to follow him. Like most converts from Islam in Ethiopia, they faced some opposition from their families and their Muslim neighbours, but it wasn't that severe. They had a strong faith community, people around them they loved, who believed in Jesus, and were thankful for their day-to-day stability and blessings. We had a good life, says Jamal. My whole family and I go to church and worship God. His business was flourishing, and his customers, including both Christians and Muslims, life was peaceful. That started to change when visiting Muslim clerics began sharing radical messages at the local mosques. He says this, the clerics began by isolating us. They told the community not to talk to us. They made the community afraid by saying, whoever talks to them or sits with them will not have a proper burial ceremony. This was a very serious threat, since your burial site was particularly significant in Islam, apparently. For the second time, Muslims began to avoid Christian businesses. They isolated the Christians from the Muslims. They told the Muslims in my town, don't buy anything from them, but let them buy from us. If you buy from them, they will become richer. So that was the money side of things. But then the persecution escalated. As tensions continued to grow, the local authorities intervened. But rather than bringing peace back to the town, it had the opposite effect. The extremists were furious. It provided the spark to light the flame, the fire that was to consume the whole community. Jamal says this, they began with an attack on Monday night. By Tuesday, they even tried to kill me. At first, he wasn't sure what to do. My sister, who was also a Christian, begged me to leave my belongings behind, he remembers. I wanted to stay and protect my house and my business, but we had to leave. And we found refuge in a Muslim's house because no Christian house was safe. And then the second day, an arson began. Mobs of people, he says, went from house to house, singling out Christian homes and businesses, destroying whatever they could find and setting it on fire. In a single day, they destroyed everything I owned and had built up over the years. At least 215 homes of Christian families were destroyed. Hundreds of people lost their livelihood. At least 375 families were forced to run. Jamal's home was ransacked and his businesses were burnt down and there was nothing was left. He says this, the Muslims believe that after our property was destroyed, Christians would convert to Islam, says Jamal. They didn't want Christians to remain in the town. Their goal was to eliminate Christianity. But they didn't reckon on Jamal's faith. Jamal knew he wouldn't turn back from following Jesus. And whilst he was worried about his family were taken into care with in a compound, in a church compound, with other Christian families, and they were very, very simple place to live, but nevertheless they were safe. And so he goes on. He kept his Christian faith despite all the things that went on. Now, where's that source from? You know, there's an organisation called Open Doors. That's the magazine, and the wider story is in there. I thought in the latest edition. And what they've started doing, Open Doors, is they've got getting together a petition for people to sign to send, and it's got a particular name which I can't remember. It's called Arise Africa. It's like a campaign thing they're going on. So what I thought we could do this morning is take part in that campaign. So what I have here, I have two petitions here to sign. There's one also at the back of the table, in the back over there, and there's also one by Hayley there, which she's shoving in the air there. So what I want to do now, if you're able to, and you want to, you don't have to, is stand up and go to one of the points and sign the petition, and that would be really good. So off you go. So there's two here and two at the back. You have to sign and do name and one or two other details. You'll see what I mean. Oh. I've not done this very well, have I? There's two there. There's two at the back. One of each table. You can turn them over, by the way, when it fills up. Each sheet is got double-sided. Badly printed, as you'll see.
Thank you. same one or are they different ones?
Yes.
Are they different ones?
It's the same.
They're the same.
It's all the same.
I was just checking.
It's all the same.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I got it.
Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah.
I thought
that. Yeah. No, they are. Yeah.
No!
He's all right, isn't he? Nathan?
Yeah.
Is he all right, isn't he? Okay, just as we finish off. If any of you have missed the opportunity now and you want to do it at the end, please do. We'll leave them out. If you want to find out more about their campaign or Open Doors generally, just go on the Open Doors website. You can get a free map if you want to go on the resource session. There's bits and pieces you can pick up. But please look at what's going on in the Open Doors website. There's some wonderful stuff there. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the example of the Lord Jesus, who was persecuted, that he was beaten, suffered, died, but there was glorious resurrection. We do pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia and other places who suffer because they trust in him. And Father, we can do little but pray. We know that. However, how wonderful it is that we can pray to the Creator and the ruler of the world. I pray that as these petitions and others go forward, the earthly things can be done. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we pray you encourage those churches and help them to continue to grow despite everything. We do pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, again, to sing. We're going to sing the Apostles' Creed, so let's stand to sing.
And eternal God, he alone is the Creator. And his words, I believe in our Lord Jesus, God's own Son who came to earth, born a man. By the Spirit, by a virgin given birth. Sing praise to the Father, to the Spirit and the Son. Sing praise to the Holy One. Believe that Jesus suffered on the cross, he bore my shame.
I believe that he was buried, the child of the
Lord
rose again.
Glorified, he has ascended, seated at the Father's side. He will come again in judgments. Justice will be satisfied. Sing praise to the Father, to the Spirit and the Son. Sing praise to the Holy One, forever three in one. I believe the Holy Spirit comes to us from God above. I believe the church is holy, one communion in its love. I believe I am forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ. I believe in resurrection and in everlasting life. To the Father, to the Spirit and the Son, sing praise to the Holy God, forever three in one. Sing praise Son. Same praise to the Holy God forever three in one.
Would you like to sit down for our prayers?
Charles and Barbara DeLacy, Jan Lewis, Dr. Curtis, Father God, we ask these many things of you, knowing that you can do all of this and more, even than we can ask or imagine. May your will be done, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
And we finish with the word of the Lord's Prayer.
In heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Eleanor. As we come to our last song, we've got that reminder that the end of the reading we had earlier said this: rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. The reward in heaven. Persecution doesn't stand on its own. Following persecution, there is resurrection life, resurrection hope. And that's where what we'll sing about now as we stand to sing our last song, I Lift My Eyes to See the Risen Conqueror. And if you want to do the instruments, please feel free. Please stand.
Sings by his word. The angels sing in joyful adoration, for death is swallowed up in victory, and countless souls long held in death's dominion walk with their Saviour on the way of life set free. Long lay our world in somber shades of darkness, the light extinguished and all overthrown. A vague hope of ancient promises, sustained by hope as eyes will be redrawn. And then he came, the hope of every nation, with power to still that restless storm of old, and all his love to plumb such depths of darkness, and rise triumphant with me safely in his hold. I do not live, but Jesus lives within me. By grace I'm raised to sit with him on high. His power at work to fit me for the glory of everlasting resurrection life. Until that day I walk in faith and holiness, a glorious path and passage step I take. For soon I'll see my risen Savior, the one I love forever face to face. I want to Christ, the Son of God, to love thee, and to the Father's saving grace awaits, and to the Spirit's Lord of recreation, we bring our ransomed lives as sacrifice of praise.